Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.
Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. If you enjoy this podcast, Real Ghost Stories Online, be sure to check out our other paranormal podcast, The Grave Talks, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday. Just search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of one of this week's episodes of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, the massive world of the supernatural. Jessica Jones is a very curious woman. As a researcher in all things paranormal, she's gone down many paths, seeking answers to questions involving ghosts, extraterrestrials, Bigfoots, and much more. As with anyone seeking answers in these areas, she's been left with far more questions than answers. Today, we discuss her research, experiences, and the belief she's come to hold on her journey to the paranormal.
Well, for me, it began when I was a little kid and I would go outside at night and watch for UFOs. I grew up on a farm out here in Georgia, and I would take my little nap mat for kindergarten and I would go outside and lay on the ground and look at the stars at night watching for UFOs. Now, not only that, but I would go to the library and I would go straight to the fictional section and look for ghost stories. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I was really big into ghosts. Ghosts and aliens and UFOs and Bigfoot, you know, all that stuff when I was a kid. So it started at a very early age for me. But I do remember around kindergarten, I had a fascination with UFOs.
How interesting. So, yeah. Did you have an experience that kind of brought you to it? Was it just kind of one of those things where, you know, it's on Unsolved Mysteries and that kind of brings you in? What was it for you?
Yeah, you know, I do remember Unsolved Mysteries. That was a great show. But I believe that I was having experiences when I was younger. Don't really remember. Okay, so I do believe that there was something. I was always scared at night. You know, I had bunk beds that I shared with my sister. And I had the top bunk bed and I would line the side of my bunk bed that had a little, it had a crack in between the board and the bed. And I was always scared that something was going to grab me at night. Mm-hmm. So I lined the entire line of that with stuffed animals, little plushies and dolls, because I didn't want anything sticking its hand through my bed and grabbing my leg when I was sleeping. So, you know, maybe that's just the typical, you know, I was, you know, being a kid and I could have been a little scared from all the, you know, ghost stories my mom would tell me. But, you know, I was probably having experiences when I was a kid. And that's why I had that deep-seated, you know, fear. But, you know, I can't put my finger on anything in particular other than just being fascinated with ghost stories. Mm-hmm. I grew up in a family where my great grandmother and my great aunt actually had a possible abduction experience when they were driving down the road in the 1980s. Okay. They were up in Rome, Georgia, and driving down a highway one night, and a light came down over their car and it enveloped the entire car. And they don't remember anything until they kind of snapped out of it. And they were 10 to 20 miles down the road in another county. And they were missing about 2 hours of time, but they were still on the road driving. Okay. So, you know, I grew up with stories like that. We have a lot of stories passed down that are very paranormal in my family. Mm-hmm. With, you know, people being on, like my great-great-grandmother was on her deathbed and a fireball came out of the woods and circled the house and went inside their house as she was dying. And so the family attributed that to being an ancestor coming to take her to heaven. You know, my great-grandmother and my great-aunt, their story was not aliens, not ET. It was angels coming down to take them, pluck them out of their car and move their car over to avoid an accident. Okay. It was angels. Mm-hmm. It's always angels or something, you know, some sort of religious explanation, you know, mm-hmm. in my family. It was never thought of an alien, you know, doing any of this stuff or any kind of orbs or ETs or anything like that. So of course it's all about perception, right? Mm-hmm. So we only know what we know. We only understand what we already know, basically. So, you know, if you know angels, that's was angels, mm-hmm. right? So yeah, I grew up hearing kind of stories and living it.
So yeah, these were things that were very familiar to you. It wasn't something that mm-hmm. was shunned or we don't talk about this or that's not real. It was, these are experiences family members have had, others have had, and it was just kind of adapted as, well, this is kind of part of life.
Yeah. Yeah. I was actually really lucky in that aspect because I was never made fun of. I was, you know, I wasn't a black sheep of the family. We were all black sheep.
Yeah.
Apparently. So we were just a family of black sheep. So,
one big breeding family of black sheep where it's like, we're all black sheep. This is great. That's great.
We all match.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
We're on the same level.
You had said earlier that you probably had experiences when you were younger and you don't remember. Do you attribute that to it just being, you know, childhood? Sometimes kids don't remember things from earlier years. Do you attribute that to maybe they were blocked out because it was, you know, so traumatic or just different, you know, than other things in childhood? What do you look
at? All of it. Yeah. I think it could have been all of it. And knowing what I know now, mm-hmm. I believe that I've been having experiences my entire life because, as recently, as a few years ago, I was having ET contact. Okay. And so, but that didn't start until I started studying alien abductions. Okay. So, and that stemmed from being out in the field doing Bigfoot research. So it's like a snowball effect. One thing kind of leads to another. You know, growing up, seeing ghosts when I was a kid and, you know, as a young adult, I had several, times at night where I would wake up and there'd be people standing by my bed, you know, just as solid as you and I, mm-hmm. you know, humans. And I would talk with them and they would communicate with me, but their mouths would never move. And that's just something I always felt was odd. It was telepathy. At the time, I didn't understand what telepathy was, mm-hmm. but I was having conversations with these people and their mouths weren't moving, you know, and I do remember that. Now, when I started having contact with ETs, I'm having conversations with them just like I did with a ghost when I was a kid and a young adult. And their mouths aren't moving, but like I've told people before, I don't even think they had mouths. Okay. So, mm-hmm. but I heard their conversations. I heard what they were saying to me. I heard, you know, and I was talking back in my mind, I guess it was just an understanding. So was I seeing ETs when I thought I was seeing ghosts when I was younger? Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. It's all kind of muddled together for me now because I don't know what the connection is and what the separation is anymore.
When you look back on those experiences of waking up and seeing people around you in your bedroom, can you recall what some of those things are that were said to you, what those conversations were about?
Yeah, I do. It happened several times. And a lot of the ones that I remember are right after my brother passed away. I had a younger brother who died in a car accident back in 2006. And the week after he died, actually, you know, it was horrible. And I was having a hard time with it, losing my brother. He's my baby brother, you know, he's 22, but still he's my baby brother. And, you know, I woke up one night and there were orbs all over my bedroom. They were green orbs. And I was watching them as they kind of moved in this weird movement. And they started forming from feet down on the ground all the way. It was like boots to a pair of jeans to a polo shirt to arms and then a head. And I saw it was my brother. And he sat down on the bed and he didn't say anything to me, but he leaned over and he kissed my forehead and I felt it. Okay, so that was an interesting time. So he didn't communicate other than he gave me a kiss on my forehead and it was almost like, you know, telling me goodbye. Mm-hmm. And it was very comforting. Now, about a week later, I woke up with a man and a woman. The woman was knelt by the bed and the man was standing behind her and they were dressed in Victorian era clothes. And they kept telling me, thank you. Thank you. We really appreciate you, what you've done. And I couldn't understand what we're talking about. But I was wrestling with that fact that my family and I had to make the decision whether to donate my brother's organs. Okay.
Sure.
And I was actually against it in a way, because the way it was gone about, it was just, you know, it just wasn't gone about the right way with the organ donation company and all that kind of stuff. It just made our whole family we were already upset, and it made us even more upset. We were having to deal with that. And, you know, but we decided to donate his organs. And so looking back on that, I came to terms with the fact that was family. I think it was ancestors. It was someone thanking me for donating my brother's organs because it saved so many lives, you know. And so, but it took another psychic friend of mine to help me interpret that what that was, you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I've never gotten any profound messages from any of these ghosts or spirits or even ETs that I know of. It's just been things that were comforting for me. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, maybe that's just my experience with all of this, is just being comforted, you know, by the other side. So who knows?
Do you consider yourself someone who is able to pick up on these things when others may not? For example, just in theory, situationally here, what your opinion is. Let's say there was another person that was in the room with you when that experience happened. You saw the green orbs and you saw your brother come and give you a kiss on the forehead. Had there been another person in that room, would they have seen that? Or is that something that only you would have picked up on?
So interesting that you're asking me that, because I do have an instance where I was in that situation. And I came home one weekend from a research weekend, doing, you know, Bigfoot and ET paranormal research out at the Meadow, this place that my team researches. And I came home, and my son was around 2 years old at the time, and he was on my elliptical machine, and he was looking really cute. And his dad was there filming him with his camera. And it was really just having fun, having a good time. And I was in the kitchen making dinner, and I got called into the living room where the elliptical machine was. And his dad said, hey, you know, you're going to want to see this. Mm-hmm. And he had his camera up and filming my son. And I looked up and I saw two balls of light floating around my son. And my son said, Mom, ball. And I kept trying to figure out what it was. I thought it was a bug.
You know,
I said, oh, is that a bug? And my son said, no, Mom, ball. And his dad was not able to see these things with his own eyes. Mm-hmm. My son and I were watching them very clearly with our eyes, two orbs of light floating around. They had an intelligence about them. Okay. Mm-hmm. My son's father could only see them the phone. Through the camera on his phone. He could not whatsoever see them with his bare eyes. So in we filmed it, and the orb shot to the camera, towards the camera, and shut the camera off. Okay. But to this day, it's perplexing thinking about this. You know, my son and I were seeing these things, but my son's dad was not. Okay.
Yeah.
Only through the camera. Yeah.
That's a very interesting story to have that all happening in real time, because it's a very interesting question that we ask about how are we perceiving these. You two were able to see them with your naked by the naked eye. He was not, but on camera it was showing up.
Yeah, we could all see it on the camera.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I guess, and it's just, you know, it's conjecture, it's opinion. Why do you think that is, that it's showing up on camera? He's not seeing it. You're seeing it. Yeah. What is that?
That's a great question. You know, I'm always left with more questions than I have answers.
Of course.
You know, I think that maybe it runs in different people's families. Some people are able to see it and some aren't.
Hope you enjoyed this 15-minute preview of one of this week's two brand new episodes of The Grave Talks. To hear the rest and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday right in your podcast feed, search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe or visit thegravetalks.com.